Father, this morning we thank you. We're grateful for this gathering. We thank you for Sunday morning gathering in an atmosphere of faith and revelation. We receive your word this morning. We ask that you make us wiser. We ask that you increase our courage also to live and to walk in your word. We ask this morning, everyone here, that your light, the light of your word, revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, fill every man. And this morning, we'll find instructions in your word, we'll be instructed. We'll find direction in your word, we're going to find courage and encouragement in your word. We are going to be inspired. We ask that your word proceed with the strength of will this morning, compelling us to do in love that which you counseled us to do, that which is your plans and purposes for us. We ask this morning, just as there's no error in the teaching, there's no error in our understanding, but every man together as a church built up together, we are made to see Jesus. And as we see him, we see ourselves also the way he sees us in him. We ask questions in our heart, answer. Great areas have light shed upon them, areas that seem noted. Every man will be straightened out. None that needs to be said will be said, and none that needs to be received. To be heard, to be received and walking, is going to be received and walking. We ask this morning we built up together as a church, needed to walk along and to esteem the precious gift of one another, which you have given to us, to function in your plans and purposes in the end, together with those who relate with, those who hear us. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And you just say, amen. Hallelujah. Ready for God's word. Yeah, I love to know the Lord. I love to love the Lord. I love to serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Matthew's gospel. Hallelujah. Matthew, we continue on our study. And I'm not sure I'll be done with our study this morning, but I have one more session after this session, and then we'll go look at other things. Hallelujah, especially for the new year. In Matthew's gospel, hallelujah. So Matthew's gospel 28, in verse 18, which is our text. Are we all there? I hope everyone is here this morning with their Bibles and what? Your preparation for Sunday church service is not complete if you don't have your Bibles and your writing material. And I didn't say your phone. You can have KJV in your phone. Some of our Bible have not even have many translations, right? They have ESV, Darby. That's true. I saw Darby's translation during the week. And I've been looking for Darby's translation for over 10 years. I've been looking for Darby's translation. I saw that. I said, wow, beautiful. Then there's a Walmart translation. Those are excellent translations. We also have the Amplified. But I'm not talking about your phones. I mean, hard copies. Only hard copy. Hard copy Bible. Yeah, with your Bible guy, just wave it off. You want to know the Lord, right? Just wave your Bible. Do we have more Bibles? Do we have anyone without Bible? Amen. Praise God. Thank you. If you are not with the Bible, can you just signify? Just code it. It's only me that will see. Don't worry. There's no worry like that. Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Did you give our Bibles this morning? Huh? You didn't give our Bibles. You gave our Bibles. All right. That's right. Yeah. So we give you Bibles. But when you are done, enjoy your return so that other people can enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word? Matthew 28. So it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now, I told this earlier that this was the 40-day teaching. So Jesus couldn't have come to them and all he said in 40 days, all authority given unto me. So this is the summary. Are we together? Of the 40-day explanation. I told us that times without number. I feel like coming down this morning. So he says in verse 18, he says, all power, which is the word exousia, which is translated authority, or better translated as authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Someone say all authority. So he says in 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said Jesus, you know, he, in this Matthew, you know, recording Jesus' words, says to go make disciples, which is the word Matthew, which means to teach. When he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word there is actually make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. And the word nations there is a language that is used to describe all kinds of human beings. All kinds of human beings. Definitely there's what the word nation means to the immediate audience. Because the immediate audience of Jesus were Jews. Are we together? His disciples were Jews. So if you are talking to a Jewish man and you say all nations, that means you are telling him to involve the Gentiles. Are we together? It shows you that the preaching of the gospel vis-a-vis what we call discipleship in the local church is not tribal. There's no tribal church. The church of Jesus Christ will not be of a particular tribe. It's okay to have the people of a tribe in the church, but the church itself is not a tribal component. Are we together? The church is open. Hallelujah. The church is what? Open. Now, the church ain't going to be open if you are not open. Say, I'm open. That's it. So, you have to be open. Amen. You have to be open to God's plan. God's plan. So, it's not tribal. Now, you know, there is what nations can also mean in our world. In our world today, there are parameters with which we classify people. Today, in 2026, do we classify people by gender. People already classify by gender. But it shows you that one of the ways by which people are classified, one of the parameters is also gender, right? Right? You have male and you have what? Female. Are we together? Is there any other one? Is there any other one? There shouldn't. Are we together? Are we together? There shouldn't. It is in the beginning, right? We go into that text. Male and female created what? Eden. So there is no shemale. Are we together? Probably madness. Amen? There is no shemale. Stupidity. So, I told you, God didn't create Adam and Steve. And he didn't create, you know, Adam and Eve. Are we together? He made Adam. He made what? Male and female. So the genders of humanity is male or female. Is it clear? You know, we have to say that again. The genders of humanity is male and female. Nothing else. Nothing else. So look at that. We can classify humans or human beings or humanity based on genders. But like I said, in 2025, we can also classify people based on status. For example, today, people are classified based on wealth. You can say wealthy, you can say materially wealthy, then you can say materially poor. People are classified based on their literacy. You can say someone is literate, someone is illiterate. Are we together? People are classified based on, you know, status and place of work, employment, employer, employee. There are various parameters that we have used to classify man. And when we see the word nations, it will also imply people of all kinds. So it means that the Church of Jesus Christ is also not professional. We don't classify people, relate with people based on their professions in church. We do not relate with people based on their wealth status in the church. James in chapter 2 spoke about, you know, a preferential treatment given to wealthy people. It says when you do that as a church, you are judges of evil thoughts. And you are holding the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, impartiality. Are we together? With respect of persons, that's what it means. You know, with respect of persons. It says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Or two persons. In other words, we do not, you know, use such parameters to classify people in the church. So when it says to go and make disciples of all nations, it means we are going to be open to all kinds of people. We can also classify who based on their age, young and old. Are we together? Young and old. It doesn't matter. What matters is the new creation. Glory to God forevermore. So it says to go make disciples. And we have said that to make disciples means to communicate God's perspective to living and to help and inspire people to walk in it. That means in discipleship, you are taught and trained how to see things. God's word comes to me to help me to see things properly. What do I mean by properly? The way God sees them. That's why God's word comes to me. The word of God is for me to see life God's way. If I don't see life God's will, I cannot live out God's plan. L-I-V-E. I cannot live out God's plan until I see it. I cannot act on God's plan. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 12, look at your Bible there. The book of Romans, just after the book of Acts, chapter 12. In verse 1, Paul the apostle said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Hallelujah. It says, be not what? Conformed to this world. Let me spend a second on that. Be not what? Be not what? Now he's writing to the church, right? That means as a Christian, it is possible for you to be conformed to the world. It is possible. Or else he wouldn't tell you not to. If it says do not steal, that means as a Christian, it's possible for you to steal. Are we together? In fact, in the church at Ephesus, there were people who were stealing. I didn't say they were stealing in the church. I mean, there were people who stole in the church. And Paul had to tell them. He says, let him that stole. That means there was a brother who was stealing. He's a brother. Are we together? Let him that stole steal no more. When he says don't lie to one another, it means it's possible for Christians to lie. Or it's not possible. Alright, thank you. I have truthful people in service this morning. Glory to God. So it's possible. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. That means if we are not careful, this world can squeeze us into its mold. If we are not careful. If you are not cautious, the world can turn you into what you are not. The world. And sometimes you're going to have reasons and excuses. But if care is not taken, the world can turn us into what we are not. That's what he's saying. Don't be conformed, he says, to this world. Now, why did he say the world? Why did he say this world? It means this present age. This present age. So he talks about, you know, the things you do, your activities, the use of the things of the world. He talks about the things you do now. Today, we have the social media. We have Twitter. And TikTok. You have Instagram. You have Facebook. Social media is this world. The present age. This one. This one. There are things that are peculiar to our time. There are some folks who have lived before us, some of our parents or aged ones, did not even enjoy such privileges or resources or tools or technology. But we do today. So he says, don't let it squeeze you into its mold. But he says what? For be transformed. Hallelujah. He says, by the renewing of your mind. Now look at what he says. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So God has a plan for me. The will of God is that we discover His plans and purposes for our lives. Are we together? That's what discipleship does. Let's go ahead. Let's go forward. In Matthew 18, Matthew's Gospel 18, in 15, we've been looking at relationships. He said in 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and what?" So who takes the initiative to restore fractured relationships? Can I get responses? Who takes the initiatives to restore fractured relationships? You do. The Christian does. Are we together? How many sessions have we had on that study? 18. Alright, so we spent 18 sessions. So, we said a whole lot of things. You want to catch on to what we said. And some of the sessions are 3 hours. So we spent quite a lot of time on this subject alone. So we said quite a number of things. Alright. So, we're concluding, like I said, I can start asking for the things I've given you. Amen. So look at this. Whose responsibility? I'm saying this because there's something I'm going to say at the close of service today. I'm going to say that. And I will build my conclusion on it on Thursday evening. Are we together? So, it's important that I get there. So I'm setting a trail and a guardrail for myself. So look at this. Whose responsibility is it to take the first step in reconciliation? Look at me. The Christian in the relationship. Now, you know, I'm not talking about marital relationships, though it's included in what I'm talking about. I'm talking about human relationships generally. Human relationships. We've said a lot about human relationships. We've said that God uses man, right? Right? All that God does on the earth, He does through man. That is why He created man to bear His image, to function in His image. So God works through man. In fact, God uses man to bring another man into the world. Yes or no? That's it. He works through man. People hear the gospel preached to them through men. Through men. People hear the gospel preached to them through men. How does God save the sinners? By sending the preacher. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Abel said, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then he says, "How shall they call on whom they have not what? Believe." Then he says, "How shall they believe on whom they have not what? Heard." Are we together? Are we together? Then how shall they hear except there be what? A preacher. It's good to see you. Except there be a preacher. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? So God solves the sin problem by sending preachers. Are we together? Now, so that you don't think the preacher is the fellow holding the mic. No, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that what? Bring forth good tidings." So everyone that God has given the instruction to of witnessing Jesus is the preacher. You are the preacher. We are the preacher. You, all of us here, we are the preachers. All of us. So how shall they hear except there be you? Except there be a preacher. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the copy of Isaiah, but it wasn't enough. The Spirit of God had to lead Philip there. And says, "Join yourself to this chariot." And having preached to him, he believed the gospel, he was saved. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, Jesus, having gone about the cities and villages preaching the gospel, the Bible said, you know, he came out and then he looked at the people. And then he was moved with compassion on them. He says, "For they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Then the next thing he said, "The laborers are what? Are few. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth what? More laborers." So to answer, the answer to more harvest is what? More laborers. So God works through men. The answer to more harvest is more laborers. You know, some of us, we're so quick to talk about revivals, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong in talking about, singing about revivals. You know, sometimes you say, oh, let's have a revival. You see a lot of young people like me. We're gathered, and then we're praying for revival. We're saying, oh God, pour down your power, pour down your this. And then when it's time for evangelism, you don't find anybody. But that's a revival. Evangelism. Going out to preach the gospel to people. Sharing the love, the message of Christ. Are we together? That's a revival. So God works through people. Now talk about the ministry, but not only in the ministry, not only regarding salvation. Many times, even in God's plans for our own lives, He works through people. I showed you already, we saw from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that man is not created to function in isolation. God did not create man to function in isolation. Are we together? To function in isolation. Let me say it differently. You cannot do God's plan alone. Are we together? You can't. In Genesis 2, he says, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. Now, some of you read that text and what you think about is marriage. Are we together? It is not good that man be alone. You will think he's talking about marriage until you look into the text and see that the man there is humanity. In the book of Genesis, you have to look at the word man. Is he talking about the male man, the male humanity, or is he talking about humanity as a species? Humanity. He's talking about humanity. When he says, let us make man in our image. It is humanity. Let us make humanity in our image. To function in our likeness is humanity. Humanity. So when you're reading Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, sometimes, you know, the Moses focused on the man Adam. Some other times, Moses was using the word man to describe humanity. You have to note it. You have to observe that word and situate it properly. Because the Hebrew word for humanity is also the word man. Same with the Greek word, anthropos. Are we together? Like you have your anthropology. Humanity. It also refers to man. And that's why sometimes in some texts in the scriptures you find you have some issues. You know, like the 1 Corinthians text on marriage. You know, on marriage. You see, the writers have to differentiate between man and husband. You know, man and husband. So God's plan on the earth, He functions through man, through men. You can't do life alone. It's not God's plan. It's not God's plan. Are we together? It's not God's plan. It's not God's plan to be in isolation. It's not God's plan to be in isolation. So what have we said? Look at our text again so I don't digress too much. In our text in Matthew 18, it says in 15, moreover, if thy brother, someone say my brother. Now who is your brother? Your brother is someone with whom you have a relationship and association with. This is a relationship. Someone you have a relationship with. So he says, if thy brother shall trespass against you. So this is a case of he did it or he caused it. Are we together? He says, go and tell him his fault between you and what? Him alone. In other words, don't put it on Tinder. It's not time to put it on your WhatsApp status. Human beings can be hypocrites. They put it on your status. If anybody thinks that I cannot survive without them, God will need help. Don't be like that. He says, go to him, go to her. You take the initiatives. And I told you on Thursday that when you take initiatives For it. Now, obviously, he didn't say go and accuse him first.
He didn't say that either.
He says go to him. Tell him the fault. He says between you and him alone. And the intent is clear. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. That means what you went to share with him is something that can reconcile. If he will hear you, the word hear there is what happens. If he's going to heed what you say. So it's a reconciliatory approach, not an accusatory approach. It is to go to him and tell him his fault. So it also shows you that in our relating with one another, we are not expected to hide grievances. Don't hide it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Are we together? Mention it. So the way you mention it, however, is important. You do that in a way that restores the relationship. And we said there's a reason why. There's a reason why that is your attitude to your relationships. You have a conversation. Someone said that what if somebody does something against me and is my friend, so I just let it go. Talk about it. Is it clear? Are we together? But you talk about it in a way that protects the relationship. Sometimes, just by talking about it, the fellow is helped out of a trait he or she is not observing. Sometimes. So the way you go about the conversation matters. But the intent is clear there. It is. It must be reconciliatory. It must be to heal. You are a healer in your relationships. That's who you are. You are a healer in your relationships. So he says, go to him. Now, don't forget we also said that Jesus is a master at relationships. Right? We said that. He's a master at relationships. So we can learn relationships from him. I mean, how did Jesus do it? Such that the greatest betrayer he suffered in his life, the person who did it, was still now the one he put over the entire flock. How did he do it? He handled the relationship well. I mean, the greatest betrayer, the fellow Peter, was still the one he committed the flock to. And he wasn't naive or stupid. He simply knew how to handle relationships. So in carrying out God's plans and purposes for our lives, we must have wisdom for handling what? Our associations. What kind of associations around us today? Family interactions, siblings. I told you, for example, at the start of our sessions, that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. If they had had a fallout, and I showed you instances that could have resulted in fallout. If they had had fallout, you know, God's plans and purposes for Jesus would not have been fulfilled. Imagine they had quarreled and they weren't able to reconcile. He would not be able to go to Jordan to be baptized. But God needed John the Baptist to announce him to Israel, or else all the revelation of Jesus would not be received. He needed a prophet as major. That's why many times when people were doubting and were accusing Jesus, and you know, they were doubting the authority with which he preached and did ministry, all he simply did was point them to the utterances of John the Baptist. I am fake. If John the Baptist had not spoken. But because John the Baptist had spoken, and the voice of John the Baptist was regarded as the voice of God, the utterance of God, they had to honor what John the Baptist said with Jesus. I showed you also, Jesus would not have come to the earth if God had not used the womb of a woman. So God needed a man and a woman, Joseph and Mary, to be in a what? Good relationship. Notice one thing about that man, Jacob, Joseph rather. The Bible said, having discovered that the lady was found with the child, he sought to put her away, what? Secretly. He didn't go on Twitter. Now, wow. Mr. Block, this generation is just trash. Imagine. Lady where I talk, say, make I marry. You don't get belly. Now, wow. Hashtag VDM. You are just crazy. You ruin God's plan by your carelessness. You ruin His plan. It is while He touched on it, then the angel came. I was there. There was no need for an angel to come again. Now that you have come on life with ring light, you have done life. Honest bunch, I've invited you. You have gone there. Ah, my brothers, that's why I see him. They have put our pictures everywhere there. I'm not just going to do rubbish and expect a good guy to treat you well. Are we together? But, I mean, the guy Joseph simply knew how to handle relationships. Caution. Are we together? You will see that over and over. Look at Abraham and Lot. Abraham definitely was somebody who knew how to handle relationships. The guys got up and said, no, there's more resources on that area. And then they were quarreling. Then Abraham took the initiative. And he called Lot. He says, we are brethren. Let us not quarrel. Pick the whatever. Because he knew he had the blessing. Say, I have the blessing. I don't get into some dirty fight. I've got a blessing. God put His grace upon my efforts. The grace of God does not remove effort and labor. Are we together? But He ensures that it is not in vain. It is amplified. That means I can be sure that every investment will multiply in its yield. Because I have the grace of God. I still invest, don't forget. I still labor, don't forget. I still read. I still seek knowledge. As we take risks, are we together? But it ensures that I don't labor in vain. Relationships. So it says, go to him first and tell him his fault. It says, between you and him. That is God's order. There is God's order to things. Are you with me? You don't get that, right? In the building of the temple, God was particular not only in what is being built, but how it is being built. He gave Noah measurements for the ark. He gave Moses measurements for the ark. He instructed the kinds of materials, gold, silver, the kind of materials that should be used in building the ark of the covenant. And even the tabernacle. In the temple of Solomon, there were instructions that were given as to how it should be built. So God is not only particular about a project. He is somebody that oversees how it is done. The how is important to God. The how. The how of things. Some say the end will justify the means. No, not with God. The end does not justify the means with God. The way you are aligned at where you are also matters to God. So, in the building of the temple or the tabernacle, God gives definite instruction. Not only that, look at the garments of the priest like we saw last week. In the garments of the high priest, what Aaron was to wear, God was particular about what would be on the clothing. And there's a reason why. Because they were already in a world. Which is why we read Romans 12. Israel was not a nation that didn't have influence from other nations. They were in the midst of other nations. In the midst of other nations means they were in the midst of other values that were not the values of God. So God is particular about the values, the measurements, the motifs, the intentions, the style. The method. God gave them rules as to who the king of Israel should be like. How he should be like. He told him, never take a king from anywhere that is not among your brethren. He told them, if you are going to take a king, it must be somebody from among your brethren. Then he says, the king must not do this. The king must do this. The king must do this. The king must not do this. God is particular about it. And if you have any issues, you go and meet him. You don't want to go, right? Amen. So, I mean, he might not come back. All right. So, did you get it? So, he is particular. He's particular. So, in building godly relationships, God is particular as to how you go about it. So, when it comes to handling chaos, offenses, issues, like we already said, there will be offenses. Issues will arise. I told you, many times, issues arise from disappointment. And sometimes, disappointment is a function of assumption. You just assume that somebody owes you this. You just assume that somebody, you have expectations. Anywhere there is expectations, offenses will arise. Because the expectations might not always be met. Offenses will arise. So in handling offenses, in building relationships, the way God wants us to build it, we must have wisdom to handle offenses. In handling offenses, there is God's order. Someone said there is God's order to relationships. And one of them is that when there are issues, go to the person privately and alone. And go with the message of reconciliation. Look at me. It means that you have already forgiven the person before starting the conversation. It means forgiveness. I told you weeks ago that in relationships, you must always have a fight plan. Right? You must have a fight plan. And you must have a flight plan. And what I mean by that is this. You must say to yourself, in this particular relationship, if anything happens, what you will not do. Things that you will not say. You must already predetermine the things you will not say. You must already predetermine the things you will not do. Are we together? If you don't, you will find yourself acting carelessly. You just discover that a particular place becomes your audience. You will find audience in chaotic places. You find audience in chaotic places. People who shouldn't hear what is happening without hearing, and they can help. I don't ruin God's plans. I don't ruin God's plans. So we are careful in our relationships. What you will not say. What you will not say. I will not use curse words. I will not. I will not. I will not curse at people. I told you. Many times, what ruins relationships is not what happened, is what was said. It's difficult to forget words. Is what was said. Some other times, who was told and what was told to that person. So, be careful. What was said. People you will never talk to. Places you will never go to. When crises arise, you determine it. So at the beginning of every relationship, and we said relationships could be neighborhood, relationships could be marital, relationships could be academic, relationships could be business colleagues. I have business colleagues, I have business friends. And issues happen. Sometimes your intention is misjudged. So many times in the organizations I belong, a number of them, and then we are trying to resolve a major issue between maybe two top executives. I say, you guys, if you guys are like this, what should we do? And they say, no. Are we together? So in my relationships, I am the Christian. I'm a Christian in my relationships. Are we together, church? You know, we've said a lot of things already in law. So he says, go to him what? First. Matthew 18, 15. Then he says, you have gained your brother if he listens to what you say. So what did you go with? So I don't go with accusations. So sometimes, you might be an issue with ego. You don't go with accusations. Then you gain your brother. Then he says, he will not hear you. He says, take with you what? One or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. He didn't say, tell other people. He says, take with you. There is order in healing and restoring relationships. God is particular about how things are done. And how we handle relationships. Then he says, if you neglect them, tell it to the church. And I told you, telling to the church doesn't mean you grab a mic. I say, oh, church. No. The church there is not talking about church as we think it is today. The ecclesia in this world, at this time, in the synagogue where Jesus taught, was a group of people who were chosen many times for the sake of oversight of the rest. In a whole synagogue, they usually call, you know, aside a few people that will serve as the government part, the leadership part of the whole synagogue is called the church, the ecclesia. Now, it is from that same ideology that we refer to as the body of Christ as the church today. Because now, in the nations of the earth, God has called a people to himself, who will now oversee their fear of the rest. Are we together? So the church will take responsibility for the world as God's priests, as God's kings, and as God's shepherds. Are we together? As God's prophet. So the church of Jesus Christ will extend God's plan to the world. Are we together, church? So in the same light, you see the word ecclesia. In the synagogue, when Jesus taught, that word ecclesia is the word that describes a group of people who were called to oversee the rest. So when he says, tell it to the church, he's talking about those people. Tell it to the leaders in the assembly who have restoratory wisdom. Did you get it? People in the assembly who can what? Restore relationships. He says, tell it to them. Hallelujah. At no point as Jesus says to go public. At no point as Jesus said what? To go public. At no point as Jesus said to tell what is happening to the world. It is not the Christian approach to tell issues to the world. Is it clear? It is not. It ruins God's plan. Except you are a child, you are going to know that amongst men, you will see imperfections. Why? Because man is imperfect. See, God's plan is perfect, are we together? Till he enters the midst of men. For example, the gifts of the Spirit are perfect till a man is administering them. Amen? The Word of God is perfect till somebody starts twisting the Scriptures. Making, you know, the Scriptures to sound in a way they shouldn't. So while the things of God is perfect, the vessel is not perfect. And God knows. You are not the first thing to know. God knows. God knows, and God uses them like that. So you can come and say that God's call, God's assignment for me is to always expose the wrong things. That means you don't have a ministry. That means you don't have a purpose. You see some folks today on the media, they say things like God has called me to expose the error in the body of Christ. See, there's just one person that looks like you, and he's in Revelation. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Find his address. Are we together? That's not God. Look at all the seven churches. He knew there were imperfections. This is not to inspire or to say the imperfections are okay and we should be fine with them. But I'm saying that God's plan is bigger than the imperfections. And if your consciousness is not on God's plan, you will not be used of God. If your consciousness is always on the imperfections, you can't be used of God. You can never be used of God. He knows, and he's fixing it. Are we together? He knows, and he's fixing it. He's fixing it by his word. He's fixing it by his spirit. Say, Jesus is fixing me. Hallelujah. It's fine. So look at this. In your relationships, in our associations, your work is not to, point out the error. No. You are not an error pointer. You should be the reason why the person is getting better. And even when you have to point out what is wrong, you must have the wisdom to resolve it. So you are pointing out what is wrong because you have the wisdom to resolve it. Is that clear, church? You are pointing out what is wrong because you already have the wisdom to what? To resolve it. So he says, go to him first. He says, tell it to the church. Then look at it. Doesn't hear the church. Look at what he says. He says, tell it to the church. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a what? And a publican. I explained that to you, what it implies. Then he says in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. Notice, look at this. Notice that the you is mentioning, the one he uses you for in verse 18. Whatsoever you shall bind is the same you that somebody hurt. It's the same you. It's the same you that been taking the initiatives of reconciliation. Then it says you shall bind. So you are the one who binds. And I told you that there is no demon in this text. The biblical teaching on binding and losing has nothing to do with demons. If you focus on the context here, when it says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on it, it was talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness. To give room for the free flow of love and forgiveness. And to take away unforgiveness. So binding there has to do with unforgiveness. You will bind bitterness. You will bind unforgiveness. It's not a demon. It's not a demon. Sometimes, when you hear people complaining, oh, every demon that is against my this, that is against my business, every demon that is against my family, maybe you are the demon there. You have refused to walk in forgiveness. So you are the one that should bind, maybe you or something else. So what is there to be bound there is unforgiveness. We bind unforgiveness. Hallelujah. And how do we bind unforgiveness? In prayer? No, in your actions. And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth. So the lose there has to do with love and forgiveness. You lose, you let loose love and forgiveness. Then you bind, you take care, you take away unforgiveness. You take away unforgiveness. You release forgiveness. Binding and losing. So whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth, he says, shall be losing in heaven. Now look at the next thing he says. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. He's talking about forgiveness. Look at 20, everybody. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am what? In. So Jesus is saying, I am in the midst of forgiveness. I am in the midst of forgiveness. Hallelujah. I am in the midst of love. I am in the midst of reconciliation. Where two, you and the fellow, where two of you are gathered in my name. And I told you what the name means already. You are gathered in his name. He says, there I am in the midst of them. So Jesus is in the midst of reconciliation. I don't sow discord. I don't sow discord. I don't have conversations that tarnishes people's image. Are we together? Don't tell people things. And after you are done, that person's image has been reduced to nothing. No, not you. No, not you. Not a Christian. Don't have conversations with people. And then when you are done, they can't bless them again. The person you spoke about can't bless the person you spoke to again. The person you spoke to cannot also bless them. No. Are we together? So my conversations aid God's plans. Hallelujah. It's God's plans. Matthew 19. He says in verse 1, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his saying, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and healed them there. Healing. He is a healer. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, don't forget Malachi 2:16, he says, let no man put what? Asunder. Hallelujah. So God is putting away. Then they said unto him, why then did Moses, it is why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of what? The hardness of your heart. Suffered you, Peter Paul, he says, to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So the beginning, the image of God, male and female, explains God's plan to us regarding relationships, which we have explored somewhat abundantly. Are we together, church? In Exodus 20, he says in verse 7, he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We said, it has to do with how we handle what? Our relationships. Since it is in the relationships that we fulfill God's plans. Hallelujah. We saw in Exodus, are we together? Number 6, we saw the name. We saw in Exodus 28 concerning what now? The high priest, right? And we spoke about holiness. So we said, we saw that on the garment of Aaron is going to have, you know, a signatory holiness unto the Lord. Exodus 26:28, are we together? Verse 29 and verse 36, precisely verse 36, it says holiness unto the Lord. Then it says the high priest was also going to bear the name of the tribes of Israel. Exodus 28, so it says they are going to bear the names of the tribe of Israel. So that as it goes before the Lord, it will be a memorial. Are we together? So we said that is where we see the word taking the name, which means to stand on behalf of, or to carry out somebody or another's responsibility. We said that. Are we together? So we said that God's answer to fractured relationships is love work. Love work. And that love work is how we reflect the Father. Matthew 5, Ephesians 5. That love work is how we what? reflect the Father. Okay? Look at this. If reflecting the Father, His holiness. Is that holiness? Don't forget. Kodesh La Yahweh. Right? We saw that abundantly. So if holiness, if reflecting the Father, is holiness, it means that our holiness is how we handle or heal or restore what? Relationships. I told you on Thursday that holiness is not salvation. No. Interestingly, God does not instruct the unsaved to be holy. He cannot be. The instruction to be holy in conduct goes to the saved. So holiness is not salvation. Holiness is because you already saved. Are we together? Holiness is because you belong to God. Holiness is in our earthly relationships. It is to show the Father. It is to reflect the Father. When it says, "Be thou holy, Lord your God is holy," in another text, he explained that same statement as, "Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Both statements were made in the midst of a teaching on love work. Matthew 5. When he taught on walking in love, he says, "Be thou perfect." So God's perfection is his love work. God's perfection is the depth of his love and commitment. So when he says, "Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect," he's talking about your love work. Let your love work mirror the Father. Now, I told you that when the priest wore the garment, holiness unto the Lord, that inscription on the garment of the priest is not for God. It's not for God to learn that this man belongs to him. It is for people to see. So your holiness is for the world. Are we together? See, God already knows you belong to him. Including people that you don't believe belong to God. You would not have known, for example, that the thief at the right hand belong to God. If the guy had not said, "Remember me in your kingdom." Are we together? Are you with me, church? You know, it was because the guy said, "Remember me, Lord, in thy kingdom," that today we say, "Oh, he believed." If he had not made the statement, there's still faith in that. That statement was for the recorders to learn, or the audience. It is us that the statement is benefiting regarding knowing that, oh, he actually believed in Christ. Now, the other one at the left hand also spoke, and from his words, we saw unbelief. Whether he spoke or not, he was already in unbelief. The words only helped us readers to know. So faith and unbelief is in the heart, seated, whether you like it or not. So that means there is a lot of people in our world today that belongs to God that you don't know, but because there is faith in their heart. If there is faith in the resurrection, in the heart of a man, that man belongs to God. Are we together? You probably would not know about Zacchaeus if he had not made those statements. Thank God for those conversations, though. They help us to know and to learn God's will and word and his methods. But what I'm saying is this. A man that belongs to God is known of God. But he has to reflect it for others to see. He has to show it. And that's where holiness comes in. So holiness is not only personal, it is also relational. It is relational. Holiness is seen in my relationships. My relationships. Because in those relationships, I will reflect the Father. I will reflect the Father. Are we together? Look at the flow of thought. In Exodus 20, right from verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of where? Out of the land of Egypt. out of the house of bondage, the deliverance. So look at this. Your walk with God starts with what He has done. It never starts with what you should do. Your relationship with God starts with what He has done. Are we together? And it's also sustained by what He has done. Your relationship with God is sustained by what He has done. And that is why Paul will use that as an example in marriage. That in a marital relationship, that relationship is sustained by the husband's efforts. In marital relationship. The relationship that the church has with Jesus Christ is initiated and sustained by Jesus' efforts. Are we together? So all the church does is to respond to what Christ does. Respond positively. What humanity does is to respond to what God has done. Humanity responds positively. So look at this. It says, I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A statement that borders on worship. Worship and devotion. Pay attention. In verse 4, thou shalt not make any graven image unto thee, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Is that also worship and devotion to God? Answer. Is that statement bordered on devotion and worship to God? Thank you. In verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The word hate them means to disobey. In verse 6, he says, to disobey or not, to not prefer. In verse 6, he says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Then he now says, thou shalt not take the image or the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name what? In vain. Is it still worship and devotion? Look into your Bibles. Is it still worship and devotion? Is this still worship and devotion? Are we still meditating on worship and devotion? Thank you. Look at the next thing. He then says, remember what? The Sabbath day and keep it what? Holy. Worship and devotion. Worship and devotion. Look at the next thing. 6 days thou shalt labor, do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice they say is the Sabbath. It says it's the Sabbath of the Lord. So there is a Sabbath which is not of the Lord. And I told you, it has to do with the culture of the day. In their world, they had what they call Sabbath. But the Lord was going to have the consecration of this particular Sabbath. So it says the Sabbath of the Lord. I've explained that to you extensively. We'll talk about that more in conference. So look at that. It says the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh, or the seventh day. He says, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and was hallowed it. Then look at the next thing, honor thy father and what? Mother. So you see, devotion flows into honoring relationships. Your devotion to God flows into how you treat relationships. We've seen that in Matthew 22, 33 to 38, down to 40, 42. Devotion to God is seen in how you handle human relationships. Devotion, Sabbath, they mention Sabbath, the rest of God, mention Sabbath, which is the temple plan. And then he mentions immediately after the Sabbath, he talks about earthly relationships. Earthly relationships. Are we together? So the image of God honors relationships. The image of God serves God, in the service of God, treats relationships well. Look at this. They say, when did we see you naked? And did not what? Clothe you. When were you sick and we didn't visit you? In other words, Jesus, we love you. Those who doubt our love for you, when did we see that you needed accommodation and we didn't provide accommodation? We love you. And then he says, whatsoever you do to the world, to the least. Why did he say least? The one that doesn't have the capacity to repay you. The least. What you do to the least of my brethren, whatsoever, he says, you have what? You have done to me. Did you see that? So devotion to Jesus is reflective in how I handle what? My associations. The unbelievers, because he died for them. The church, because they are his family. How I handle them. How I handle them. Look at this. Saul of Tarsus. He claimed to be so devoted to Yahweh. Saul of Tarsus. He claimed to be so committed to God. The God, you know, of Moses. Saul of Tarsus. And as he went down to Damascus, he was going there to get arrest warrants. So he could put him in prison. As he was going, then Jesus met him on the way to Damascus. A light, bright light shone upon him. And as the light shone upon him, he says, who are you, Lord? Then he says, I am Jesus. And he didn't stop there. He says, whom you persecute? As far as Saul is concerned, he had no business with any Jesus. He was persecuting Christians. He saw the people who were persecuting. They were citizens of Israel. Are we together? Under the Roman government. He was persecuting people. Then Jesus says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is a difficult thing to kick against the throne. Are we together? He says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Jesus whom you persecute. Paul would have got up. He must have got up or gotten up from that experience with one revelation. That I don't know this Jesus yet, but whosoever he is, himself and his church, they are one. I don't know much about him, but whosoever he is, because I only say I'm persecuting him. And he put himself like the very object of my activities. He couldn't have said, you're persecuting my. He could have said, you're persecuting the people I died for. No, he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And that very idea of persecute means to attack somebody with a sword. That is, you are stabbing me. Me, he says, you? I wouldn't dare do that. I wouldn't do that. But he says, hey, look at those folks you put in prison. So when you see a Christian, that Christian is Jesus. The brother sitting by your right is Jesus. Is Jesus. That sister is Jesus. Are we together? So they're like, how will I quarrel with Jesus? I will not quarrel with Jesus. But you quarrel with the brother. You quarrel and you are unpersuadable. We ask you to forgive me. Say, no. In my tribe, we don't forgive. What kind of tribe is that? Say, I'm a new creation. Say, I don't get angry easily. That's why I don't forgive easily. So nothing is easy for you? Are we together? Say, it is easy for me to forgive. I forgive. I love. I'm compassionate. I give. I'm generous. There is no one who came to Jesus to be healed that he asked, how did you get sick? He never asked. He never asked. He healed, asking no question. Just like he says, eat, asking no question. He healed, asking no questions. I'm sure some of those people, he will have words of knowledge about how they got sick. I'm sure he would. That's why he observed, he says he has compassion. compassion on them. I'm full of compassion. I'm full of compassion. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So what is holiness? Holiness is to represent God. Israel was called of God a nation to be holy. Holiness unto the Lord. I told you the word Kodesh. That is belong to God. Belong to Yahweh. I belong to God. Hallelujah. I belong to God. I belong to God. So the image of God is a servant. And in my relationships, I serve God's plan. I serve God's plan. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Quickly, everyone. 2 Timothy 2. Timothy is before Titus, before Philemon, before Hebrews. After Thessalonians. Now, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. In verse 15, he says, "Saul is the shoulder that has ever approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? Ungodliness. As their word will eat as doth a canker." That's the word cancer, like you have it today, cancer. "As doth a cancer." Then he says, "Of whom is Arminius and Philetus, who concerns the truth of it, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the feet of Saul." Now look at 19, everyone. 19. I want us to read 19 and 20 together. Won't you go? "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that..." Does God know? He knows those who are his. Read on the next one. "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ," he says, "depart from what? Iniquities." Did you see that? "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, that bear his name." Now, if you read in context, what does naming the name of the Lord mean in that verse? He says, "Do your diligence towards..." To what? "Study to show yourself what? Approved of God. A workman that need not to be ashamed." Right? Dividing the word, the word of truth. Then he now spoke about shunning profane and vain babblings, which increase unto more what? Ungodliness. "And their word doth eat like cancer." Then he mentioned Arminius and Philetus, who have erred concerning the word, the faith, the teaching. So the context is talking about preaching the gospel, handling the information of God from the Holy Scriptures. The context refers to the work of preaching. The work of preaching. I did an elaborate work on that last October, the first week. The work of preaching. 2 Timothy 15 talks about the preacher. Paul is talking to Timothy, preacher. He talks to him about how he handles the information contained in the books of the Bible in teaching with verity the truth of God from the scriptures. So when he says, "He that nameth the name of the Lord," he's talking about he that bears God's responsibility. So to name the name of the Lord there has to do with the preacher of God's words. The preacher of God's word. The one who has the duty of preaching. The minister of the gospel. Every believer today. Those who have the responsibility of standing in God's stead. He says, "Depart from what? Iniquity." He's talking about ministry and teaching. Are we together? So how do I take the name of the Lord? By carrying out his ministry. In carrying out his ministry, he says, "I must depart from iniquity." But he says, the Lord knows those who are his. So when he says, those who name the name of the Lord, depart from iniquity, those who are manifestly his. You go show that you're his. This is the path of iniquity. So holiness, that's holiness. Our holiness is how we handle relationships. And it title, how we handle relationship. If holiness is devotion to God, if my holiness is my devotion to God, then it is tied to how I handle, how I treat people. I belong to God. So we said also on Thursday that nothing, therefore, defines the Christian. He belongs to God. And he reflects God. Money doesn't define a Christian. It doesn't. Your culture is not where you take your identity from. Thank God for human cultures. Are we together? Thank God for good cultures. But your culture is not what inspires your identity. He says you belong to God. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord inspires my identity, not culture. The amount of money you have is not what inspires your identity. No. How well read you are, your certificate, your professional status, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm a professor, whatever it is, it's fine, it's great, it's excellent, but that is not where you take your culture, your identity from, rather. You don't take your identity from your profession. You take your identity from God our Father. Hallelujah. That is why I said, to have a healthy human relationship, the persons involved must know God. The knowledge of God is what enhances any godly human relationship. Remove the knowledge and the right relationship of God, you will not have godly human relationships. So to act as God wants me to act in a relationship, I must be focused on knowing the Lord. The more I know Him, the more I can serve His image in relationships. And I told you that a man that functions less than God's image is a man that is less than human. Because the real quality of humanity is God's image. Let us make man in our image. A functional term, a responsibility. To function less than God's image is to live less than man. I'll say it again. To function less than God's image is to live less than man. That is a dysfunctional human being. So how do I function in God's image? I start out by knowing Him. Knowing the Lord has to be the greatest thing in your life. Or else, you will ruin His plan in your relationships. Knowing the Lord. Someone say, knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord. So the greatest thing in all my life is what? To know the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest thing in all my life is what? Knowing the Lord. That's why, that's what should be behind your choice of the local church. Do they make me? Not something, I want a place where I can feel among. No. That's not what you need. You need a place where you are taught to know the Lord. And then you must feel among them. You are the one that chooses where you feel among. I'm taught the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm helped to know the Lord. The prayer meetings are focused on knowing the Lord. The teaching meetings, like this morning, is focused on knowing the Lord. When we go on evangelism, it is to help people, the Christians that we meet, and the unsaved, the unbelievers that we meet, to know the Lord. When we come together, we fellowship around one another. We go about those gatherings. It helps us to know the Lord. And the way we also relate with one another, our conducts, the way we relate with one another also reflects the Father. Reflects the Father. The greatest thing in my life is to know the Lord. You know we have a song like that, right? The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. The greatest thing, the greatest thing in all my life is to know you, Lord, to love you. Greatest in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love. I want to love you. I want to love, I want to love you. Oh, the greatest thing, the greatest thing in all my life is to love you, is to love you. Within to serve you, the greatest thing in all my life, in all my life. It's serving you, it's serving you. The greatest thing in all my life, serving you, it's serving you. I want to serve, I want to serve you. I want to save, I want to serve you, Lord. The greatest thing, the greatest thing in all my heart is serving. Hallelujah. So you see, you can serve who you don't love. And how do you love who you don't know? A church that focuses on you getting busy without feeding your soul is not for you. It's not for you. We must be taught to know the Lord. When you know Him enough, you will fall in love with Him. When you love Him, it will be natural and effortless to serve. So the reason why a lot of people struggle at serving is because there is knowledge deficiency. There is love deficiency. Hallelujah. And there's beauty and blessing in serving. I told you, one of the beauty in serving the Lord is that you will not serve the enemy. Are we together? The enemy, including self. Self is an enemy. That is the background of all the sin in the world. Selfishness. Me. Then you serve the Lord. See, I serve the Lord. It has to be the greatest thing. It has to be the greatest thing. God did not give humanity money or resources for humanity to get identity from it. No. God did not give us our agendas for us to get identity from it. No. Your primary identity is not in your gender. No! It's in the image of God. The gender is a channel to which you minister the image. Your resources is a channel to which you minister the image. Your literate minds, academic qualifications, is a channel. I wrote on the media some time ago, I think about some weeks ago, I put it on the media. I said, one of the greatest tools of God is completely yielded, highly intellectual minds. minds of men like Moses. You can know God today because Moses yielded his own mind. Very intelligent. Moses was one of the most intellectual men of his day. Intellectual men like Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the most intellectual. You observe that those are the people with the material that blesses the most. David, intellectuals. You see Daniel, intellectuals. You see Paul, intellectuals. So your certifications should not be what preaches you against God. Your pursuit of academics cannot be the reason why you are not in church. Are you crazy? Your pursuit of academic qualification, certification, excellence is the reason why you are not serving. Why are you not in the workforce, in the church? It's because of, are you okay? You are not thinking straight. You are not thinking straight. They are thinking straight. Hallelujah. It has to be the greatest thing. There has to be that burning desire in your heart. Burning desire. I know many times the work of God comes with so much, you know, effort. It could be tedious. It could be demanding. Yes, it is because the work of souls is demanding. Are we together? So God shares some of his burden with you. It's a privilege. But my heart burns for the Lord. So in devotion to the Lord, it is seen in my relationships. So your position does not describe you. I say two more things. I close this morning. Your position, your gender, your wealth, certification and qualifications, your culture, your background, your profession, the place you live, your geographic location, the place you live. I live abroad. No. It doesn't describe you. You are the image of God. Are we together? Man's fulfillment is in the image of God. Is in his true identity. Man's fulfillment is in his true identity. The image of God. So to relate well with men, it has to be built on a strong relationship with God. To relate well. A lot of us struggle in our relationships and associations because we don't yet have a strong relationship with the Father. Are we together? Upon salvation, to know the Lord, to cultivate a strong relationship with God. Hallelujah. And that is my holiness. Don't say that's my holiness. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Look at that text. I'll show you one more two things. Then we close this morning. Glory to God forevermore. In Hebrews chapter 12, your holiness is in your love walk, how you treat people. Holiness is relational. Relational. It's personal. It's also relational. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If you read from verse 12, it says, wherefore lift up the hands which are down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. When not yet there, I'll wait for you. Are we there now? Alright. So let's read together. Won't you go? Wherefore lift up the hands which are down, feeble knees. Talking about conduct. 13. Make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be torn out of the way, but let it be healed, rather, be healed. Can we take 14 together? Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. He says, follow peace. If you look for the word follow, is the word dioko, D-I-O-K-O in the Greek. It is a word that is used many times for persecution. Persecution many times. Now, in this text, it is used positively. So the same way those who persecute people go after them, he says positively. That same emotion, that same approach, now positively. That means you do all in your mind. He says to follow peace. The word follow, peace with all men. Now notice that the word follow peace with all men is what it means by what? Holiness. Holiness is emphatic. He didn't couple holiness with that text. He explains it. So follow peace with all men. That is holiness. Hallelujah. Follow peace with all men. I mean holiness. Without what? Without which no man shall what? See the Lord. See the Lord where? Where are they seeing the Lord? They are seeing the Lord in you. Now when he says follow peace with all men, is that love work? Is that walking in love? Forgiveness? Giving forgiveness? Love work. So it says follow peace with all men. Love work, which is holiness. So your holiness amongst men is your love work. Without which no man shall see the Lord. See the Lord in your conduct. So people can't know how God looks like when you don't walk in love. It's not talking about rapture. No. That text is not talking about rapture. No. When it says, without which no man shall see the Lord, see the Lord in you. See the Lord in your conduct. So your love walk is your holiness. What does it mean? That is your separation from this world. That's what shows that you are not of this world. Say, I'm not of the world. That's what shows you are not of this world. How you walk in love. How you reflect God's nature. That is your holiness. Love walk, holiness. Without it, people don't know what God looks like. People cannot see the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. In every relationship, I have a ministry. I have a ministry to do the image of God. In every relationship, I have a ministry to do the image of God. In Matthew 19, it says, from the beginning it was not so. It says, why then did Moses command us to give a writing of divorcement? It says, Moses, because of the what? The hardness of the heart. Now let me tell you, when it says Moses because of the hardness of the heart, notice that the people whose hearts were hardened at that time was who? Egypt. In other words, Moses permitted you because you will not act unlike the unsaved. It was Egypt that the hearts were hardened. Egypt, where they came out from. In other words, you were acting like the unsaved. That was why Moses allowed you. You were acting. Your actions is not different because you refuse to act differently from the unsaved. Are we together? Are we together? So God has to accommodate them and give them instructions, even though what he told them to do was not his word, was not his will. So I have a relationship. Ephesians 6 talks about relationships. I talk about that on Thursday. Different kinds of relationships that a Christian can be in. I am taught in God's word to relate supernaturally. Are we together? I am taught in God's word to relate as the image of God. I am taught in God's word to function in God's image. So I say that again. I don't relate based on my culture. No. I am Omo Ijebu. Our hands is like this. It's not true. You're an Ijebu Christian. Are we together? We're a new creation. I don't relate out of my cultural orientation. I see people like that. Culture, tag. I don't want to mention the tribe. You can't tell them anything. That's what they will do. And it's a cultural mindset. It stands against God's plan. You were created to function in God's image, to represent Him, to reflect Him in your earthly relationships. So my culture is what inspires me. My fame doesn't inspire me. The fact that you are famous in the world does not mean that you will not stand and usher people to help them find the seat and locate the service. When you come into the service, you stand there, you usher people there as a governor of the state. You will. Because in the house of God, you are a servant of the Lord. Are we together, church? A servant of the Lord. Fame, societal status, is not where I take my conduct from. I don't take my conduct from my race, my tribe. I don't take my conduct from the country of residence. I take my conduct from God's word. I take my conduct from God's word. I relate with men because I have a relationship with God. Is it clear? I relate with people because I have a relationship with God. I relate with people because I have a relationship with God. I relate with people because I have a relationship with God. Why did you do it that way? I did it that way because I have a relationship with God. Ah, they told us to do this. Why are you doing it? Because I have a relationship with God. Why? I'm submissive at the place of work. I follow the team's goal because I have relationship with God. Are we together? Are we together? I will not manipulate figures, switch public resources to my own. Why? But that's the culture here. I will not do that because I have what? Relationship with God. So my relationship with God informs what I do. On campus, the same. There is no need to feel inferior amongst your classmates or coursemates. No need. Feel inferior for what? I'm God's man here. Is it clear? That's who you are. I'm God's man here. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I minister the gospel in the midst of my relationships. That's who I am. They say, it's a particular day of the week in the evening, ladies. I don't go to such places. I go to prayer meeting, or I go out with my friends, or I'm in the department, or I go for night class, or I'm, that is why I'm saying, all of these people. And then they even plot a triangle for you. Home church school. Thank you. Thank you. That is who I am. Home church school. Wow, so you know. Wow, that's cool. Thank you for knowing. One more. Amen. Are we together? There is no need for feeling inferior. No need to feel inferior. No need. You have absolutely no reason to feel inferior. You already have an identity. The things you do is not in the pursuit of identity. That's where the issue is. The world is looking for an identity. Those boys and girls, they are looking for an identity. So they feel that when they do this, it will give them a sense of identity. So Satan lures them away. All the things you do, you don't do it for identity sake. You are not even doing it so that people can start seeing the way. Let me to test it so that when I'm amongst boys, they can see that, you have graduated, you're not a grandfather. Why? Because the first time. The third time, you see, no. I don't need to taste drugs. I don't do it. Because I'm not looking for an identity. The Christian is not looking for an identity. The Christian already has an identity. So he functions from it. Did you see that? That's the difference between you and the world. The world is looking for. So they will do many things to belong. That lady is looking for an identity. So it feels that if I do this, then they can also see me. I can also belong. No. The Christian is the light. Light does not look for identity. It shines. The salt does not get into the meal and say, what do I do? No, it knows why it is introduced. It sorts the meal. It says, you are the salt of the earth. It says, you are the light of the world. That is who you are. Light is direction. That means people should follow you. Light is direction. Light is loud. That means your voice should not be stopped. Light is never timid. Light is who it is. I am light. That is who I am. Are we together? In the marketplace, that is who I am. I am light. That's the way I do my business. I might make some little adjustments to be better. I might make some little adjustments to accommodate people. But it is not the reduction of my value. I am light. On campus, I am light. I will tell her, if you get your allowances, you use it to buy this and do this. When I get my allowances, I take care of my health. I take care of my relationships. I take care of my health. I meet the needs. And I also take care of God's church. If you get your salary, go to the joint and gather people, carry girls, put them on your legs, and drink all night. When I get my salary, I give to the church. That is who I am. So why do I have to conform myself to be like you? Why is it not you trying to be like me? No, I am light. Is it clear, church? That is who I am. I'm not moody. I have joy. The fact that you are complaining doesn't mean me so I should complain. No, this morning I prayed for 1 hour. I can't be complaining. What you are seeing is not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God's plan. I'm seeing God's provision. I'm in faith. There's the way faith speaks. So leave me. I'm a man of faith. I'm full of joy. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That is who I am. Look at this. They persecuted Jesus for being who he is. You can't be different. Be who you are. Jesus wasn't shy about it. Glory to God forevermore. Let's close this text. So he says, to follow peace with all men. He says, that is your holiness, with which men will see God in you. In my relationships, I must function in that holiness. I belong to God. Are we together? I told us at the close of Thursday meeting that the Old Testament and the New Testament books contain in them wisdom for handling all relationships. You are an image of God, though you are a son to somebody. Remember, right? Right? You are an image of God, though you are a parent to someone. In our relationships on the earth, you are either a parent, or you are a child, or you are a sibling, or the three at the same time. Are we together? You can be an employer or what? Employee, right? Right? What other relationships do we share? Neighborhood, right? My neighbor. Which other relationships? Business colleague. What else? What other relationships? Students on campus, right? Or students, What else? Husband and wife. So, you have husband and wife, right? Spousal relationships. So, I show you that in God's word, you are the image of God. That means there is wisdom to function as the image of God in all of these relationships. That is your goal. That is your goal. In the scriptures, God was described as a parent. In the same scripture, God is described as a son. In the same scripture, God is described as a master. In the same scripture, he's described as a servant. In the same scripture, God is described as a husband. In the same scripture, he's described as an employer. He's described as a friend. The same God is described as a brother. The same God is described as an employer, the one who rewards labor. In the same scripture, he is described as an employee, a servant, God. So it shows you that when you know him, there is wisdom to feed into all the aspects of human relationships. There is no relationship you are going to have that there is no wisdom in the image of God to handle it. There is no wisdom in God's word to function as the image of God in handling those relationships. Is it clear? Is it clear? So look at this. In 2026, you are functioning in God's image. I close here. You are functioning in God's image in 2026. He says you are the light. In your relationships, you are the model friend. A model friend is loyal and faithful. in your relationships, be loyal. I told someone, I said, someone that when I leave the room, I can't tell what he's saying about me, he's not my friend. He's not my friend. In your relationships, be committed. Be loyal. Be faithful. And faithfulness sometimes means the other person fails the faithfulness test. You be faithful. That is what God mirrors. If you have found that relationship worthwhile, that means you didn't get into a relationship that you carved for yourself. If it's a relationship God led you into, be faithful in it. And I'm not talking about marital relationships though. Some of us, when we are hearing this, marriage that is on our mind. No. Human relationships. Be faithful. Be faithful in the family. Don't forget that your faithfulness will first be to who? To the Lord. Right? Right? You now mirror it. Be faithful. You are faithful. Our devotion to God is seen in how we honor our relationships. Are we together, church? Look at Exodus 20 and I'll close there. I'll pick it up from there on Thursday. In Exodus 20. So, as we close, look at this. Does God walk through men? Just answer me. Does God walk through men? Look at this. I told you that the way God works is that what you need, He will take it and put it inside what? Another. What does another need? He will take it and put it inside what? You. He now expects both of you to form a godly and a healthy relationship to assess what you need that you don't have, but it's in the other person. That is the way God does this thing. And you can't question it. That's the way He does these things. Nature teaches us, what does it cause God to put both the sperm and the egg in one person? Now, to do something as basic as reproduce, to do something as basic as that, I now need to be in a healthy relationship with another human being. And that's how God does it. He gives what this one needs, He puts it in this one. He puts what this one needs, He puts it in another. You will now require communication. You now require honor, forgiveness, persuasion, love. Are we together? Courage. You now require the good virtues to harness those things, to be in right relationships, to assess them. So God does things that way. He puts what you need in another. And I told you that sometimes a miracle is just meeting somebody with a kind heart and you two having common sense. Are we together? You don't pray for miracles and then your conduct is the one that ruins it when it comes. Are we together? So a Christian, you must learn to value relationships. So God works through them. God works through them. I'm saying that because I'm already closing this study. I'll close, give you a password on Thursday. So God works through relationships. That was how we started on week one. He uses men. You can't question Him. That is His style. He is the owner of the earth, not you. And that's the way He runs His earth. Are we together? If you don't like it the way He runs His earth, Amen. I know I didn't get out of it. Are we together? That is the way He works. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. In those relationships, I just mentioned now, that you be brother to somebody. Some of those relationships are vertical. We've said that before, right? Some of those relationships are what? Horizontal. In a vertical relationship, someone is looking up to you. I don't want to say you are looking down. But someone is looking up to you, right? Or you're also looking up to someone. That's a vertical relationship. In an horizontal relationship, your friends, right? Your colleagues, your classmates, they are horizontal relationships. But look at this. You have a responsibility to honor everybody in those kind of relationships. Some of the vertical relationships is parents to child. So Paul said, the image of God, Father, function as the image of God. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Children, you are a son to somebody. Function in the image of God. Honor. Are we together? Are we together? Masters, Christian masters,
function as the image of God. He says what do you do?
He says to treat your servant well. When I'm paying salary in time, I am functioning as God's image. Because the laborer is worthy of his reward. Give it to him. Don't stay a week so that the millions can give you humiliating courses. As an employee, function in the image of God in the organization. Honor your bosses. Oftentimes, when you are taught to honor somebody, it means that they will not always do things that is worthy of honor. But you have a consistent trait to honor. That is what God will do. Are we together? Many times in honor, if you know how to walk about it, you will be able to communicate what you need to communicate, like Sarah did with Abraham. Are we together, church? In the family also, is there husbands? Function in the image of God. He says, love your wives. Wives, function in the image of God. He says, honor what? Your husbands. He spoke about master to servant, servant to master, husband to wife, children to parents, parents to children, employers, wealthy people. 1 Timothy 6 and 15 and 17. He says, to be ready to distribute. So you have money. Function in the image of God. He says, be ready to distribute. Be ready to give. Be hospitable. Are we together? Then he says, you don't have money. Function in the image of God. He says, get busy so that you might have to also be your support. The image of God. We have every right, every duty rather, to value everybody. Never say because people are looking up to you, you don't honor them. Honor everybody. I talk about that on Thursday. Honor all your relationships. 26, honor it. Honor it. In fact, in that Exodus 20 text, look at what it says. It says, honor your what? Your father and what? Your mother. Some of you don't know what Moses is doing there. Notice that the culture that they were in was a patriarchal culture. Right? That world saw women as second-class citizens. So by including mother, God has checked the existing culture. He has checked that culture by including mother. Because it was a patriarchal society. So by saying father and mother, God has communicated his own view about relationships, which was contrary to the culture of the day. And it shows you that God's word many times comes to us to attack our subsisting culture. If God's word does not attack what you thought before, you probably have not opened up to it. It will come to reshape your ideology. It will come to produce God's perspective to live in. So we said that discipleship is actually you learning God's perspective to live. People may close. Learning God's perspective to live in. Discipleship is you seeing things the way God wants you to see them. So in 2026, we must be big on honor. Are we together? Honor every relationship. Honor your friends. Honor them. Honor them. I told you a while ago that everything thrives where it is what? Honored. If we put this light under the seat there, it will not bless us because we have disordered it. Honor means to put things where they belong. Put things where they belong. That means you must recognize people. Not everybody is the same. Everybody is not the same. The position of your parents in your life is not the same as one distant parent down the street. No, you are going to be unsmart to treat them the same way. The same thing in the local church. Your pastor is not like other pastors of other assemblies. Let other assemblies honor their pastors. Walk in honor towards your own leader and pastors. Your friends also. Your husbands, your wife. Paul said, let every woman, he says, be subject to her own husband. He didn't say women submit to husbands. He says wives submit to your own. Are we together? That means you can't treat every man the same way. That is honor. Honor is to recognize people. What is the role and the function of this person in my life? And put them in a place where they are able to do it what? Well and effectively. That is honor. Honor the things that pertains to men. Honor conversations. Honor privileges. See, It doesn't matter. When somebody comes to you and they share something in their life with you, whether it's somebody that is above you, which is one we shall honor more and see as privilege, the person that is under you in the Lord is sharing something that is private with you as a disciple or as a pastor. Honor that conversation. Honor it. God is watching. Jesus is looking at it. Honor it. Honor conversations. Honor privileges. Honor associations. We're going to talk about that more on Thursday. Honor your parents. Honor your boss at work. Your boss at work, honor him. Others might be shouting, honor him. And I'm going to show you where do we take our honor from. Because you can't honor something outside the way God wants you to honor it. Yeah, that's not honor to God. If you are going to honor it the way God wants you to honor it, you will honor it the way God sees it. So you have to see it. God's word is instrumental. You have to see it. There is a way, therefore, that God sees women that made him to say, honor your father and mother. Male and female created in them. Don't forget Adam functioning as God's prophet saw the vision in Genesis 2 and saw that the woman is what? The equal side of the tabernacle of God. So there's a way God sees women. Honor women that way. Honor the gender. We also live in a patriarchal society. Sometimes, I remember I was in a meeting sometime in the association. As we were talking, they said, and then they were elderly people. I said, in my heart, I said, no. I wasn't called to speak, but I felt that if I was granted the opportunity to speak, I would not. No. If it's a man that said what was said, you will not say Ubaji. So you felt like because men are talking, the woman now got up and no. Men and women, there's no discrimination in gender in the face of God. There's no discrimination. Why then does it say submit to the husband? Because there can't be two heads in the body. That's a beast. So for the sake of orderliness and progress, he says the wife should submit to the husband. It doesn't make the woman second-class citizen in the family. Then I talk about Islam. Islam doesn't see humanity after God's plan. It doesn't. Islam doesn't. Many other religions don't. So you have to know the Lord to be able to treat humanity properly. That's why we said, if you are not functioning in the image of God, you have a dysfunctional relationship. You have a relationship with other people that is less than what God has ordained. Are we together, church? We trust God this year that will build relationships that God has ordained. Every association, men and women, that God has put around us to build his plans and purposes, he's going to help us by his Spirit to honor them, to value them, to place them where they belong, and to also function as God's image in our relationships. Have you been blessed this morning?